This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So I have to ask, Nicole, because I didn't ask you this yesterday because it was still too raw for me. It was right before we went on the air yesterday that Nicole informed me that Norm MacDonald had passed away. And you knew that he was my favorite. You knew that I traveled to Vegas just to watch him do a show. Do you feel bad that you never got him on our show?
Yes, and I tried.
I know you did. I know. No, I'm not blaming you for this. He just didn't stop in Seattle that often. But when he would do the tours of comedy clubs, he would almost always go to the big local radio station and hang out for an hour because he liked doing that, because he always made a point. He didn't drink. He quit smoking about 30 years earlier. And that's why it's so sad that he died of cancer, because he had tried to make his life as healthy as possible, but he didn't like just sitting around a motel room all day waiting to do a 1 hour set at a comedy club. But I can't believe we never got him in studio with us. Very disappointing. Dang it.
yeah, it is. Sorry. I didn't know if you were waiting for a response for me, but yes, I do regret not getting him on, although I did try. But you know, there's some mystery in that. Maybe it's okay that you didn't talk to him.
I don't know about that. I also think of how you're going to feel if you don't get Billy Joel on now.
Oh, you know what?
The pressure is mounting. The pressure is mounting.
I'm actually okay with it. You know, it's his loss, right?
No, it's my loss. Dang.
I got Olivia. Feel good about that. I got Donald Trump. I feel good about that.
Yes, well, you should. Yeah.
I got some off your list that I've checked, and I'll keep trying. But you know what? He's been too difficult. I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, I understand. So, so Norm MacDonald, he was my favorite stand-up comedian, and as I've said, he was the best. Right up there with Don Rickles, when he would sit on the couch with the late night host. Now, with Rickles, it was always Johnny Carson. But with Norm MacDonald, it was Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert. So I did something last night that I never do. I watched all of the late night shows. I DVR'd all of them because I wanted to see what kind of tribute they were going to play to Norm MacDonald. And I couldn't believe it. Kimmel and Colbert ignored it. And as far as I could tell, James Corden. I didn't see Seth Meyers. The only one who mentioned him was Jimmy Fallon. We're going to play that for you in just a couple of minutes. But this was kind of creepy because apparently Norm MacDonald had cancer for 9 years and he kept it hidden from everybody. And he was still doing some things during COVID where he was just recording little mini podcasts from his apartment with some of his celebrity friends. But he stopped doing those. And I just wonder if he started getting sicker and sicker from the cancer. They have not said what kind of cancer it was, but to have it for 9 years... I had a friend who had leukemia, lymphoma, and that stuck around for about 10 or 12 years before he finally died from that. But I wonder if that is why Norm MacDonald several years ago was joking about cancer, because he may have already been diagnosed when he did his cancer jokes.
My Uncle Bert, he's my great uncle, but we call him Uncle Bert. He got bowel cancer now. He's dying of it, you know? And some people like to say, in the old days, a man could just get sick and die, you know? Now, they have to wage a battle. So my Uncle Bert is waging a a courageous battle. Which I've seen because I go and visit him, and this is the battle. He's lying in a hospital bed with a thing in his arm watching Matlock on the TV. Instead of that battle, I got him the box set of Matlock. And... But it's not his fault. What the f*** is he supposed to do? Ah, yes, yes. It's just a black thing in his bowel. And the reason I don't like it is because in the old days, they go, hey, that old man died. Now they go, hey, he lost his battle. That's no way to end your life, you know. What a loser that guy was. Last thing he did was lose. He was waging a brave battle, but at the end, I guess he got kind of cowardly was what happened. And then the bowel cancer, it got brave. You got to give it to the bowel cancer. You know, they were in a battle, and then what the And I'm pretty sure, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure if the cancer dies, I mean, if you die, the cancer also dies at exactly the same time. So that, to me, is not a loss, that's a draw. That's a, you know what I mean? It's not like the cancer's going to jump up and go, Uncle Bert's wife. Where is he? I won fair and square. Is this where he works? Hi, name's Cancer. How are you? Where do I... You just throw me to my cubicle. Right? Bowel. First name is Bowel.
So as I was watching that, I was just wondering, did he know that he had cancer when he made that joke? And was Uncle Bert really himself talking about himself? And I'm guessing that's why he really cut down on the touring and didn't come to Seattle very often. When Seattle's kind of a mainstay for him for quite a while. But those are the kind of jokes he would do. They were long. Some people just didn't get his humor at all. And here, I'll give you one more example. Because everybody says, well, Norm MacDonald, if he was starting off in 2021, nobody would have heard of him because he would have been canceled. Because he would do jokes that were politically incorrect. He would do ethnic jokes, for example. And he'd always try to inject himself into the middle of the ethnic jokes. But the other thing is, his jokes would just go on forever. And here's another example of that.
I've never asked you this before, and we've been good friends for many years. Ah. Okay, I made that up. But no.
We haven't?
No, we're friends. We're good friends. But I don't know what I'm MacDonald. Is that Irish? Is that Scottish? What's your ethnic background?
My ethnic background is Polish.
Are you really Polish? Wow.
Polish people,
I didn't realize that. Yeah. MacDonald, you don't...
Well, my parents changed their names. They had to because of the constant ribbing they'd get for being Polish, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they changed their name to MacDonald. But, you know, it's one of the things that you can, you know... I mean, I get a little upset about it, you know? Because, you know...
All
you
the
can't,
Polish jokes and
Yeah,
stuff.
You can't make jokes about other people, but for some reason you make jokes about Polish people, you know?
Right, right.
I don't like it.
Right. You shouldn't. That sounds bad, yeah.
I mean, I had an experience, you know? I go in and I order a Polish sausage, mm-hmm. you know? From this guy, you know? And so the guy says to me, you must be Polish. And I said, come on, man. I mean, come on. Think about it, what you're saying. You know, I'm trying to knock some sense into this fellow's head, maybe give him a wider world view, you know?
Sure, yeah.
I said, you think because I order a Polish sausage, I'm Polish. I said, what if somebody came in here and ordered French toast? Would you think he was French, you know?
Right.
I mean, what if somebody came in here and ordered a Belgian waffle? Would you consider that guy a Belgian? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if a guy came in and ordered a German bratwurst, would you consider that fellow to be a German fella?
Right.
I said, what if a guy came in and ordered German potato salad? I suppose you'd think he was German too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? What if a guy?
Wow, you talked to this guy for a while.
I'm telling you, man. with racists, you have to get through.
You have to really get it into their head. Right.
I said, if a guy came in, he ordered a Cuban hamburger. Are you going to assume he's a Cuban?
Right, right, right.
I said, I think it is absolutely ridiculous that just because I come in here, I order a Polish sausage, why would you jump to the fact that I'm Polish?
Right.
And the guy says to me, well, first of all, it's a hardware store.
That was just a stereotypical Norm MacDonald. He'd go on for 2 minutes. He'd pound it into the ground way too hard. And then he'd just have one line at the end that was made all the journey worthwhile. That was the way he described it. So like I said, watched all the late night shows last night because he was such a great guest on all of those shows. Colbert, Jimmy Fallon. They didn't mention him. Or Jimmy Kimmel didn't mention him. Jimmy Fallon did. But Jimmy Fallon, he is the most annoying of the late night talk show hosts. They're not comics anymore. They just say stuff that people will applaud with politically. They don't even try to be funny. But Jimmy Fallon, he had to make it about himself, and he just wanted to show off that he could do a really horrible Norm MacDonald impression.
Told us that Norm MacDonald, a great comedian, passed away today at the age of 61. And gosh, you know him, you love him.
Yeah.
And he's just one of the greatest comedians ever, and God, we're going to miss him. He was a friend of the show, family, really, to us. We've known him forever. I remember Norm... I would do impressions of Norm in the late 80s. I would videotape every comedian. They had all these comedy shows on all the time. Like, it was on every channel, and I would just tape. I would know everyone's act. Judy Tenuta, Jan Karam. I would everyone's act I would know. And this guy comes on, Norm MacDonald, this guy had a very crazy accent, and so funny, and he was so cool looking and so confident. And he told this bit about a wiener dog. I don't know if you know this bit. He's like, hey, there's a... trying to get a dog, you know.
So that was the whole point, was he went that distance to start doing a weak Norm MacDonald impression. And that's particularly galling coming from Jimmy Fallon, because about 2-3 years ago, Norm MacDonald did some magazine interview, and he used a word that people thought he should be canceled over. And so that next night, he was scheduled to be on with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show. And Jimmy Fallon, in fact, it was the night that Donald Trump was on as a candidate. So I guess this would have been more than a couple years ago. It was 5 years ago. So Donald Trump was on as a candidate, presidential candidate, and Norm MacDonald was scheduled to be on. So it would have been a huge audience. But because he had done this magazine interview, apparently, some Jimmy Fallon staffers were crying because they were so upset that they would have Norm MacDonald on the show. Because what he said was so politically incorrect. And Jimmy Fallon, being the coward that he is, he said, okay, we'll cancel my good friend. Now, Norm MacDonald preceded Jimmy Fallon as Weekend Anchor Update. Or Weekend Update anchor, and Fallon just caved in because he didn't want to create any controversy. So it was just, I thought Fallon looked really weak and pathetic. Now, I am looking at the text messages, and I tried scanning through all the shows. I couldn't watch the whole thing, but we are hearing that Colbert and James Corden did tribute. So I did not see, though. I didn't tape Corden. And then Colbert did a segment after his monologue. Colbert did just a few seconds. And all he said was he wrote for 3 months. He didn't do a nice tribute. He said he wrote on Saturday Night Live for 3 months when Norm was there, and that he was nice to him. That Norm was nice to Colbert. But it wasn't much of a tribute. Anyway, but the Fallon thing was really annoying. So I can do my voices... and I'll ignore the time that I shunned a friend in his time of greatest need. It was just weak. What a weak community. Everybody's afraid of getting canceled. That's all they're afraid of these days. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. There are calls for a teacher to be fired after saying that asking kids to sit quietly is white supremacy. This is another bit of a stretch that we have. It's Virginia teacher Josh Thompson. And Josh Thompson says that apparently Josh Thompson's point is that children of color are more fidgety than white kids. So if you ask your students to sit quietly, that is an example of you being a white supremacist.
I stated that PBIS is white supremacy with the hug, and a lot of y'all wanted to know more about that, so here we go. First of all, thank you to Jack Copa, who reminded me that Dina Simmons was the first to coin this term, so thank you, Jack, so much. So if PBIS concerns itself with positive behaviors, we have to ask ourselves, okay, well, what are those positive behaviors? And it's things like making sure that you're following directions and making sure that you're sitting quietly and you are in your seat and all these things that come from white culture. The idea of just sitting quiet and being told stuff and taking things in a passive stance is not a thing that's in. We're positively enforcing these behaviors. We are, by extension, positively enforcing elements of white culture, which therefore keeps whiteness at the center, which is the definition of white supremacy.
Okay, so white kids can sit quietly, he's saying, and black kids cannot, which is what's known as the soft bigotry of low expectations. For a teacher to just assume that because of someone's skin color that they cannot sit and pay attention in their seat, which is a ridiculous assertion for a teacher to make. And again, I know that because I coached very, very diverse groups of kids, and there was no distinction between races on who was great at paying attention and integrating, you know, concepts that we're teaching. There's no difference. Everyone's an individual, but we have to group everybody in a big lump sum. Then we have South Whidbey School Board, where the Pledge of Allegiance is creating quite a problem. Channel 4, ComoNews.com. They covered this because people went to the school board meeting and stood up to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, and then the superintendent, Dr. Joe Mochia, says we never knew this was an issue because they don't want to say the pledge anymore.
It's never been raised as an issue in 10 plus years, ever. I just wonder why now.
Maybe people found out how crazy you're being to not say a pledge to a flag if you work for the public schools and collect your paycheck from the government that that very flag protects. Wayne Floton is a Whidbey Island resident, and he told Channel 4, yeah, the pledge should be standard.
To me, the Pledge of Allegiance is kind of like a standard that is given, as my thoughts are reflected by quite a few people out in the community.
Yeah, but the school board president there, Brooke Williford, was one that does believe the Pledge of Allegiance is offensive.
The history of the pledge is nationalistic, nativistic, and xenophobic from its inception in 1892 until it took on its modern form in 1954.
I wonder who crammed that nonsense in this woke person's head. But the xenophobic, the most welcoming flag in the world. We have more people who are legally welcomed into this country than any country in the world. We have 1 million a year who legally immigrate to the United States. We are having hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens who are sneaking across our border to get into the United States. If our flag represented such xenophobia, then would someone explain to me why people all around the world are trying desperately to get into the United States?
And I think using that as a disruptive tool for an educational board is eminently disrespectful to the pledge itself.
Eminently disrespectful to say the Pledge of Allegiance. The community members say now that they know about it, they'll be back.
If they don't reinstate it, we'll continue doing it.
There you go. The South Whidbey School Board, where the pledge is xenophobic. And that is your Fastest 15 for today.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, we got a lot more to do. Getting lots of comments from you. I'm going to share your read coming up at the top of the hour. We've struck some nerves today. And lots more still to come, including people who are fighting back against the vaccine mandate. But it might be too late now. All the details still to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, as I've been telling you, this is D-Day now. If you are a state employee and you've not begun to get the first of two vaccinations, you're going to be out of time by mid-October when you will be fired, according to Governor Jay Inslee and lots of other people in charge of state employees. One group of employees is our firefighters, and this guy, he is a firefighter, has been for 11 years in a local city in the Puget Sound area. I'm going to keep him anonymous for now because he already is facing enough repercussions by just opposing this vaccine. But he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. I appreciate you reaching out and coming on with me today. Thank you.
No, thank you for your time, sir.
Okay, so let's share your story. You say you have a beautiful wife and two incredible children, and you filed for a religious exemption from the vaccine. Explain to me and my listeners why.
As I stated in the letter, my religious exemption I was trying to obtain was based off of the sanctity of life. I think that the Bible is very clear that life begins in the womb. I laid that out using various scriptures. And the city acknowledged the fact that I have a deeply held religious conviction, but they cannot accommodate me for my job.
Okay, and what does the start of life, what does that have to do with getting a vaccine?
You look at the Johnson & Johnson, they actually use aborted cells from an aborted child from in the 80s in their line that they actually use in the production of their vaccine. And then Pfizer and Moderna actually used it in the development of their vaccines. So either way, both ended up coming from aborted cell lines.
So in other words, in any vaccine that was created with or the origin of it has anything to do with the fetal tissue or fetal cells, you will not allow that to be injected into your body.
I can't.
And when you say you can't, it's simply because of your faith.
It correct? Is. Yeah. It's, I think that the Bible is clear that if I didn't know that, as Paul writes, that if you don't know that it's a sinful thing, then you're in the clear. But once you do know, you're held accountable for it.
Okay, so you and several of your colleagues, you said, sent in a letter stating the same thing. Is that right?
Yeah, it sounds like there was a total of five of us from our department that sent it in to Human Resources because we've been given the fallacy belief that a religious exemption would actually be considered.
And when you say it's a fallacy belief, it's because the way they rejected it, you don't think they truly considered your deeply held convictions on this?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think because in some of the back and forth that I've actually had with Human Resources, they point out the fact that there's no way with the way Inslee put this in that they could ever accommodate for a firefighter EMT based off of my line of work.
Because why? Just because they would be so short-staffed if you guys were to walk off the job?
No, they put it out there that that with the new, let me see how she worded it, with the new variants, masks and social distancing and testing would not be a viable accommodation and it would create an undue hardship for the city and we would be considered a threat.
So what they're saying is you would not be able to do the regular testing that proves you're negative, that would be able to keep you exempt throughout being unvaccinated. Is that what they're saying?
They're saying that any of that is not, with the new variants, is not acceptable. And with my job, having to deal with emergency situations, dealing with the public, fellow coworkers, it's not acceptable. And I could end up getting somebody else sick, and I could be a threat to them and into my community as well.
Okay, so now you say that you're contemplating legal actions. As you also correctly noted, you said a lot of firefighters have reached out to me and my radio show, and that's true. I've heard from many of them. So what's next for you? I mean, because you say in this letter, and I got to tell you, I know a lot of firefighters. I have a couple of firefighters who are great friends of mine, and these are people who love their job. I mean, they are passionate about what they do. And what really struck me when you emailed me is you said, I'm at a loss. I do not want to lose my career. I absolutely love my job and being able to help people on such a deep level. And that's what really spoke to me is you're now facing an entirely different career than the one that you've trained for and loved and has provided for you and your family. That has to be an unbelievably stressful situation for you.
I haven't slept right for about 3 weeks now in trying to figure out ways to deal with this. Yeah, and prior to that, for the last almost 11 years, I have not had a day where I've driven into work with any kind of dread. I have loved every moment of my job, the people I work with, the ability to be able to assist so many in such real ways. And to now have that, have a possibility of just being completely uprooted and ripped out, I'm at a loss. I don't know.
Another line that struck me, you said you just started the process of trying to become a firefighter chaplain. You started that process a month and a half ago, and then you wrote, now I'm about to lose everything. And you asked for any wisdom that could be passed along. So I know already, without having looked at the text messages, I know that there are going to be some people in there who are saying, just get the vaccine already. And I'm sure you've heard that from an awful lot of people, maybe even some of your coworkers. They just say, okay, we get it, but just get the vaccine and keep doing what you love. What do you say to them?
I just think that they don't completely understand where my faith lays and that my faith is in something higher than what this world is. You know, unfortunately, as it grieves me, I know that the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. And I know that the Lord has brought me into this position in the fire department as of today. And for whatever reason, it's now being taken away and it's very hard to deal with. And I know that I keep hearing, oh, well, it's illegal and it's unconstitutional, all these things that he's doing, but he's still getting away with it. And come October 19th, they'll be searching for something new.
I know there's one other thing that people are saying about all of this, and it is that, okay, we understand, we appreciate where your faith is, but that you're dangerous. You're a first responder, and there are people listening right now, because I've been hearing these arguments for weeks now, and they're saying, I don't want somebody who's unvaccinated coming and being a first responder. I don't know if they have the COVID or not, so I don't want to be around that person. What do you say to those folks who think that it's just too dangerous to allow you to remain an unvaccinated firefighter?
I would say that we have been doing this job for the last 18 months and using the appropriate PPE. We use N95 masks or N95 respirators that we test for. We do fit testing. We go through training to make sure that we're wearing them correctly, and the CDC's own website says that those are, that is something that will actually protect up to 95% of ourselves and the people around us. And then we use the gloves, goggles, gowns. We completely wear enough equipment to protect us. I have personally done CPR on a COVID patient with two other COVID positive people in the home. We've been into multiple COVID calls, and I have yet to catch COVID-19 based off of the PPE and our decon procedures that we do afterwards. People are completely safe with this. I don't see how I need to have the vaccine to keep this safe when we've been doing this already for 18 months.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I'm going to continue to ask those questions of our political leaders. I'll continue to try to get you some answers. And along with that, will you keep me posted, especially as D-Day draws near a little more than a month from now? Because I know there's going to be a lot of broken hearts when people have to start giving up the careers that they love so very much. So I'd like to stay in touch with you through the process, if you're willing to do so.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for reaching out to me. God bless you for your convictions, and let's hope that some saner minds prevail in charge here.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
All right, take care. That is an 11-year veteran local firefighter who does not want to take the vaccine because of the origin of those drugs, and he's facing losing his job just over a month from now. Love to know what you think. You can text me at 98973, and we do have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. So where are you on the political spectrum? And I ask this question because if you walked into, let's say you're slightly right of center, or anywhere right of center, or a moderate Republican, if you walked into your kid's high school classroom and you saw that the teacher had a display that portrayed Republicans, all Republicans, as uneducated, bigoted warmongers, and all Democrats are focused on justice and are tolerant and successful, would that bother you? Because it's happening here in the Puget Sound area, down in Lacey. Timberline High School has a class that does just that. Republicans are uneducated, bigoted warmongers. Democrats are filled with justice, tolerance. And it's so funny that somebody thinks Democrats are more tolerant. I'm not saying they're less. Yeah, I'm saying they're less. So Keenan told our colleague Jason Rance over on 770 that the noose that was on the Republican side of the room made him really question the teacher's display.
When I first saw it in class, I kind of like noticed the noose, but I didn't know the, like what to call it at first. So then I wasn't sure. And then I came home and I told my dad about it because I noticed on the Democrat side, it was like a bunch of just kind of positive stuff. And then I asked my dad and he told me to take a picture of it. And so I did. And then when I sent it to him, he kept explaining to me of, like what these things are and stuff like that.
Yeah. Don't you realize, Sonny, that all Republicans are murderous racists? I know it was Republicans that freed the slaves from the Democrats, but who needs to pay attention to history? It's a high school. Social justice is all that matters. Then after his dad complained to Timberline High School.
She took everything down, like not even just the eagle. She took down everything, her bumper stickers, just pretty much anything that would represent anything against us or just anything against or for just Democrats.
What a loving, lovely teacher that must be. All Democrats are loving, she says, and Republicans carry around nooses. Sounds like a great high school teacher in our region at Timberline High School. All right, we'll follow that story. Jason will have more on 770. Big Lead of Two coming up next.